Literary Scape presents the historical inspirational book club podcast, the first of its kind. This show is for those who love clean romance adventure stories from the 1800s.
Welcome, everyone. I have a few announcements before we dig into this next episode. First of all, I wanted to give a huge thanks to everyone who bought a copy of A Dare and a Prayer by Julie Lessman in October. We joined Julie in donating money to anti-human trafficking organizations, and because of your support, we will be donating $500 to Destiny Rescue. If you have not purchased your copy of A Dare and a Prayer, it's not too late. Julie will be donating a portion of her sales proceeds to Eden House throughout the life of the book. I have a link to purchase A Dare and a Prayer at the bottom of this blog post. And in case you missed it last week, I launched my Historical Christian Romance Writers membership. If you or someone you know is an aspiring author of historical Christian romance, then I would encourage you to check out the support and training HCRW has to offer. Visit www.literaryescape.com/HCRW to learn more, or click the link at the bottom of this post. Finally, be sure to sign up for our Literary Scape Book Club newsletter for readers, or our HCRW newsletter for writers. Our newsletters are the best way to stay in touch and to know what events we have going on throughout the year. Let's pray and then hop into another fun book discussion. Lord, thank you for each person who listens to this episode. I ask that you guide and protect them as they live out your will. In Jesus' name, I pray. In this episode,
and Tiffany,
Jamie,
and Melissa will be discussing Leaving Stony Brook by Sarah R. Turnquist.
David longs for a grand adventure, one that Mary dreams she might be part of. In the rugged terrains of Cripple Creek, Colorado, David Matthews' world has always been overshadowed by his father. Each sunrise over Stony Brook Ranch reminds him of the path laid out before him, a life scripted by expectations he isn't sure he can live up to. Desperate to carve out a future driven by his own dreams and ambitions, David grapples with his duty to his father and the call of the wild unknown. Mary Foster has held a silent affection for David since their youth, and while her mother suffers the ravages of a disease they fight to contain, Mary's heart patiently beats in the hope that when David finds his place in the world, there might be room in it for her. Will their paths diverge in the vast expanse of the frontier, or perhaps love can guide them to find in each other the very thing they are lacking in themselves, home?
All right, so this is novella number 2 for this series, and it sets up Catherine and Tom's oldest child,
David,
their son. And as you can probably glean from even the back cover, he's much like his dad in that he wants to strike out on his own, because Catherine and Tom have set up a very successful ranch out west and really carved out and made a name for themselves. Which I also found, that comes out in the next book, I think, actually, where Tom kind of reflects on the fact that he has some regret for having just left his family behind to stand, do his own thing. But you know what? I think that's what happens when we... I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think what he did was a bad thing. Because sometimes we're just called to be a pioneer, and that means putting distance between us and our loved ones every now and then. So, I mean, I think about all the people that are in the mission field and how much they sacrifice with relationships with their family just to serve. I don't say just to serve, but that sounds bad, but to serve. But anyway, so here's David. He literally has a ranch that will be his, as his dad's like wants him to be his partner. And then when I'm ready to let go, it's all yours. Right. And what does he want to do? I think I want to drive the stagecoach.
Yeah, that was kind of just like random, too. I feel like he just came to town and spur of the moment, like, OK, this is what I need to do.
And I kind of get the whole need to maybe kind of find yourself because he's always been in his dad's shadow. Mm-hmm. And it's just always been expected that you're going to take over when dad is done, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I kind of get him wanting to branch out on his own, but.
It almost seems it was more impulsive. It's like reminded me of a teenager, like a teenager. It just I understand wanting to branch out on your own. But there were so many times it's like, come on, like, you're being stupid.
Yeah.
Like even in the next book, there's parts where I'm just like, oh, your pride is going to kill you. Like,
I know. Yeah. And so then what did you think about Mary?
She had a lot of patience.
Yeah.
A lot of patience.
She did. And she had so much on her plate. Mm-hmm. And he didn't help. Of course, he didn't realize that he really liked him like that at first. Which isn't that kind of funny the way it is. The two people that like each other, everybody else knows they like each other, but they don't realize that they like each other.
They don't communicate.
That's right. That's right. It kind of reminds me of Derek and I, but I was young. Okay. So I was 14 and he was 18, but we worked together at that church camp for a year before. And then the whole year in between summers, he wrote me letters and called. He also wrote my sister who worked. We all three worked together. He wrote her, too, and talked to her on the phone. But my mom said one time, he likes you. And I go, no, we're just friends, you know. And he goes, she said, a boy does not take the time to write a letter and make phone calls unless he likes the girl. And I was like, no. So then the next summer, I was standing out on the pier with his cousin's husband. He was lifeguarding and I was just out there on break talking and everything. And he goes, Derek was walking by on the beach and he said, he likes you. You know that, right? And I said, no, we're just friends. He goes, no, watch this. He never comes out on this pier because he doesn't care to be out here on the water. Now watch. And he goes, hey, Derek. Derek looked up and he walked out. He goes, the only reason he's walking out here is because you're standing here. I was like, no. And then, of course, then we start dating. But isn't it funny how like everybody else can see it? Mm-hmm. But those two people, you know, it's just. And Mary with her mother. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What a dresser. And I was not expecting it to turn out what they diagnosed it to be. I won't say anything for anybody who hasn't read it. But
it wasn't what I thought. But I think that was a good thing because it was almost like a reminder of the time period we were reading.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was expecting it to be more of this issue. And I think maybe we were probably all thinking the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we don't want to say because it makes it interesting for the reader to be like, what is really happening with her? So
I just had to laugh because, going back, it is funny. Everybody recognizes it because like even Mike and I, like when we got together, Lily, our daughter. She's the one, my daughter with my ex-husband is the one that hooked me and my current husband up together. We were all friends and she was just, I think you should date Mikey. And it was like, huh? But even she, we didn't really have a thing, but we were friends and it was just cute.
Yeah.
But, my 6-year-old is a better matchmaker than most adults. So.
Kids are intuitive.
Yeah. It was just cute.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So then, what did you think of Mary's dad? I felt like he gave off two vibes. I felt like he gave off this gruff, standoffish, whatever kind of vibe. And then this like super loving dad vibe. I don't know.
I think he was super loving. My personal opinion reading him was like, I think he was that super loving and he really cared. He didn't know how to deal with what was going on around him. Mm, and I think that made him gruff. Because part of it was like, how do you deal with it? And the other part's denial. Like, I'm just not going to acknowledge it.
A lot of denial.
That's true. I didn't think about it that way.
He had to pretend to be gruff or the man of the house or to know what's going on. And he had that persona to uphold.
Yeah. I didn't think of it that way. I just kept thinking, man, I can't peg this guy because I feel like he's shuffling back and forth. And then, Mary starts dating somebody else. Which I found was interesting. And then David gets his head on, right? You know, and whatnot. But Mary has to face another tragedy, right? And so, I mean, what did you think about how she went through those stages without giving away.
Without giving it away?
Yeah.
She's still patient. She still did what needed to be done.
It was elegant, graceful, just like that was coming to mind. To go through.
She almost reminds me a little bit of Faith from the Daughters of Boston series in that her heart's desire was David, right? But yet she would never force it. She was just whatever the Lord gives me. I thought she did a really good job of that. And I think she continues to have that kind of faith later on in this series too, which we'll get to that. All right. Did you enjoy their love story?
I did. Mm-hmm. I was a little heartbroken for Jonas. I did not. I was sad for Jonas in this series.
Yes, as you learn more.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But even now, it's just like, he was so nice. Like, I mean, you're happy they didn't get to.
Together.
Yeah, I don't want to give anything away. But anyways, yeah.
I know.
Like, I'll go back in time and be a fake character. I'll be with Jonas.
It's okay. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Maybe he comes back.
Oh, yeah. Remember. She's got another book coming in the series.
I need to read it.
Right, so now. Maybe it'd be like those two. I will reach out to Sarah and say, we have an idea.
We have an idea. We need to know what you're thinking about.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, what is your overall lasso rating of Leaving Stony Brook?
Three lasso.
Three.
Yeah, I'd give it a 3-2. I thought she's just a good writer, I think. How would you rate the romance level?
I don't want her to.
I'd say espresso, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
He's there, but it's not. Yeah.
One or two.
But we like the romance. Yeah. What about the adventure level?
Espresso.
Yeah, I was thinking espresso too. What about mystery?
I feel like there was a lot of mystery.
I was going to go mocha just because of around her mom, trying to figure that out. I mean, it's not like it wasn't like a huge, but there was some mystery to it there. But yeah, overall, it was a great read. Quick, lovely love story. Hello, everyone. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. We'd love to connect with more readers like you and share inspirational stories with them. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, happy and blessed reading.